Have a seat now. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you this morning. Alive, at least awake, right? But hallelujah, we have Christ in the local church. It's wonderful to be gathered together here at the college conference where we're hearing such wonderful things concerning what? God's goal, the body of Christ. And last night, we began this conference by seeing that God's eternal purpose is to gain a corporate man to express him and to represent him. And this man is corporate because it is composed of many sons. Christ, the unsearchably rich Christ, as the firstborn son of God, and also millions of believers as the many-born sons of God, just like the firstborn son of God. And this corporate man can also be seen and viewed as Christ as its head, and we, the believers, as the body of Christ. So, this corporate man fulfills God's eternal purpose. And how we became members of this body is by believing and being baptized into him. Amen. Why? Because when we believe and we baptize into Christ, we get mingled with God. Amen. And we enter into an organic union with Christ. And not only are we members of this Christ, but we become Christ's fullness. Only if we eat, digest, and assimilate the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. So our burden and hope and our desire this weekend is that you would see this body, that you could be this body. But more than seeing and being this body, we hope that you would see that this body is God's goal. God, it might be strange to some ears, God has a need. Our existence extends beyond us. God, who created the all ever-expanding universe, has a need. God's goal is the body of Christ. And because this is God's goal, it must be our goal. Our goal as Christians is the body of Christ. You know, many of us, now that I believe we all here are believers, and we would have a very difficult time imagining our human life without Christ. Our human life is meaningless if we're not a Christian, someone who loves Christ, knows Christ, pursues Christ, receives Christ, gains Christ. Our human life is meaningless without being a Christian. But let me tell you this morning, our Christian life is equally meaningless if we do not see the body of Christ. If we do not see that we are members of the body of Christ. So this is what we live for. This is what we work towards. But we must see and have a further realization this morning. Because if we don't have this realization, our growth in life will be frustrated and our labor and work will be ineffectual. What is this further realization? This further realization is that this body of Christ, which is God's goal, is also an organism full of life. And that's what we come to this morning. We have in our outlines, maybe we can read it together, message to the title, an organism full of life. The body of Christ, which is God's goal, is an organism full of life. And I'd like to make two observations based on this title. I'm not very complicated. The first observation is that it's an organism. The second observation is that it is full of life. What is an organism? An organism is a being that's organic. It's a life being, right? It's a being that possesses life. That's what an organism is. There's a difference between being a corpse and being a body. The only difference between a corpse and the body is that the corpse is without life, but the body has life. The body is living. The body is full of life. And unlike many other things in the Bible, the body of Christ is not a type. It's not a symbol. There are many things in the Bible that are types. There are many things in the Bible that are illustrations. There are many things in the Bible that are metaphors to describe this Christ. But the body of Christ is not one of these things, because the body of Christ is a reality. It is a spiritual reality. It is real. It exists. There is something in this universe, a reality called the organism of the triune God, and it is full of life. That brings us to the second observation, full of life. Well, what does it mean to be full of life? That means it is constituted through and through with life. That means from head to toe, this body is life. After all, this body is a body of Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is life. So this body itself is of life. We use this term fullness. It appears in Ephesians 4, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It appears in Ephesians 1, which we covered last night, which is the church, which is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Well, a helpful illustration for this can be done with this cup of water. Here's a cup. Well, by faith, you're going to have to take it that this cup is full of something, full of water. Shiloh, can you verify for the entire audience, is that cup, does that contain something? It's heavy, right? You don't have to look in it. But it is, you can hear it, right? It is filled with water. Trust me. At least as of this morning it was. There's a difference. Actually, it's not quite full of water. You could say that this cup is rich in water. It has a lot of water in it. It is rich in water. But you can't see the water. You're believing by faith that I'm not a liar and that this is water in here. What is fullness? It is not full. What is fullness? Let me tell you, we're vessels, vessels of mercies, right? Prepared unto glory. We're meant to be filled with God. We're meant to be continually filled with God. That's why we have to eat and drink God. That's why we have to eat and digest and assimilate God. See, this is me drinking this water. This cup is not partaking of this water. This cup is rich in water, but is not full of water. You cannot say it is the fullness of water. But once it starts drinking, once it enjoys, once it continually is under this dispensing, eventually something is manifest. And what do you see? Water. Not just riches, but fullness. Do you see the difference? For this side, right now you can't see. Well, you might see a little drippings. But this cup is merely rich in water. But let's drink. Let's drink over and over and over and over again. It is now the fullness of water. Brothers and sisters, don't just be rich in Christ. Be full of Christ. Be Christ's fullness. The body of Christ is an organism full of life. Do you get the point? Okay. Brother Lee loved this illustration. he, like me, was a boy. Boys like to make mess. Okay, that's enough. But you got the point, right? We want to be Christ's fullness. Okay, so God's goal is to gain the body of Christ as an organism that is full of life. I was thinking that we would read the verses that are in the title, but maybe for the sake of time, if you'd allow me, can I read them to you? Just so that save you from pulling out the your Bibles. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." And then Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 tells us, "But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, this causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love." Finally, Colossians 2:19 tells us, "And holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God." Let's turn to the outlines, and everyone, let's read Roman numeral number 1. The body of Christ. Amen. Romans 12 likens the body of Christ to our human body. Our human body is also an organism comprised of living members. It is not a dead or lifeless organization. This table before me, this table is an assembly of dead parts. It's an organization of dead parts. We're not mannequins. We're not robots. We're organisms made up of living members. Each one of my fingers is a member. Each one of my toes is a member. My knee is a member. My shoulder is a member. All the parts of my being are members of my body. Each one is living. Each one is part of this organism. And it's instructive to see how this organism, our body, came into being. We are not even, you can say, we are not even the assembly of living parts, right? We're not just the assembly of living parts. We're not even parts that were dead and brought to life. We're not a collection of living parts. That's Frankenstein, right? That's monstrous. Every member of my body was formed long ago in my mother's womb. Meaning from the very beginning, every member, how we become members, it's through birth. It's through regeneration. It's through rebirth in this case. Of course, my kids, you know, recently I went and digitalized all my documentation, including the ultrasounds of my kids, all three of them. We have ultrasounds in. And it's amazing when you take a look at these ultrasounds, every member, every major organ, every feature, major feature of their body, it's there. You can see it. It exists. But when they're born, surely they're not mature. Surely these members are not full grown. It would be horrifying if one of my child were born with an adult hand. Right? Every member is just an infant hand. But what happens? Over time, little by little, the members of their little bodies begin to partake of something through their mouths and from their head. And that something, whether it's milk, whether it's formula, whether it's solid food, eventually got to all the members and begin to supply each member of their little bodies. And they began to grow. And that growth was not just the growth of individual members, but in the aggregate, in the totality, all that growth for each of the individual members became the growth of their body. And so they need to do, the key was that they need to remain in the supply. If there's any member, actually, this is a good point. I was going to share it later, but I'm going to make three observations. The first one is that on the one hand, all the members are part of the body, but each member has to grow. My finger cannot grow from my toe, right? No matter, if my toe is deficient in growth, my finger can't compensate by growing extra. Both my finger and my toe are responsible to grow. Each one of us, as members of the body of Christ, are responsible for our growth in life. Amen. The second observation I like to make is that in order to grow, each member has to still remain attached to another member, right? The minute that one of these members is detached, then that's when they stop growing. So we as members of his body must realize for us to grow, we too need to remain attached to the other members of the body. And the third observation is, in order for the body to grow, every member must grow. We can't say, well, I'm pitiful, but at least everyone else is growing, so the body is going to be okay. No, the body is not okay. If any one of my children had just one member, let's say there's their pinky toe, that is, and every member of the body was growing normally, but that pinky toe remained an infant's toe, my whole consciousness would not be consumed by the rest of the body. I'd be focused on that. What is wrong with that pinky toe? That's why Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all arrive. We all arrive at a full-grown man. So the third observation is that for the body to grow, every one of us needs to grow. Okay. So the point is that the body of Christ is not a lifeless organization. It's an organism with life. How about brothers? Read A. The church is an organism. So not just the body, but the church, which is the body. The church is an organism. It's not an organization. You can't simply join a church like you can join a club on campus. No one became a member of the church by signing up or going through some sort of initiation into some sort of spiritual fraternal order, right? Being a member of a church doesn't even mean to subscribe to a certain belief or teaching. To be a member of the church, to be joined to a church, that occurred when you were born spiritually through regeneration. B, sisters. Do you see? Very clear. Through regeneration. John 3 says, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is actually the body of Christ. The reality of the church. So anyways, we need to be born. Many of you may be undecided, especially some who are new among us, freshmen, might not be sure, you know, which church to join or be affiliated with. Well, let me tell you, if you're regenerated, you're joined to the church. You don't, your search is over, right? You are joined to the church. Because you are a believer in Christ. Our focus should not be, what should we join? Our focus should be, let's not get detached. That's what we should do. And the sure way of not growing is by getting detached, by getting isolated. But if you want to grow in Christ, then stay attached. Don't, if you don't believe me, believe John 15, right? If any member, any branch is detached from the vine, what will it do? Eventually, it will shrivel up and die, or it will dry up, and only good for burning. Anyways, so how and to whom are we attached? Well, we all need companions. Every one of us in our college, wherever we're at, we need to find companions. Not ones who are soulmates, but ones who you can pursue the Lord spiritually with. The ones who see that the church is the body of Christ and is the goal of God. Attach yourself to these ones. Don't leave them. Don't get detached. They become your lifeline, your supply of life. And not only companions, but wherever you are, I think most of you are in this situation, wherever you are, there is a church. Actually, every believer, we're in a place, whether they believe it, agree with it, every believer in that place is the church in that place. They're part of the church. You're part of that church. So you need to get into not just the church, but you need to get into the church life. The church life is the practical way where we experience the church. It's a life. It's a living. And it's not just an individual living. It's a living with others. In this church life, people are learning to live Christ. I'm learning to live Christ. You're learning to live Christ. This is the church life. We need to be in this church life to grow. In my locality, some students are doing this, right? Don't see them. But anyways, they're here. there they are. I see them. They're experiencing this, right? And whether they know it or not, they're just repeating something that occurred in the Bible a long time ago. In Acts chapter 2, they lived the church life. And in that church life, it was day to day and house to house, right? And so some of these students, all they do, well, not all they do, but much of their week is spent 2, 3, 4 times in the homes, going from house to house. And I don't think it's for the free food. I think it's for the free fellowship. Because they know that when they're in this supply, they're being strengthened to live Christ. And the more they come to these homes, the more they're connected and attached to other members of the body, the more they can live Christ. Anyways, as they grow, the body grows. In an organization, by way of contrast, you have this assembly of dead things through kind of fasteners, all right? You need some sort of fastener. Many organizations are brought together. Well, I don't know. What are the music, maybe? Or maybe a social community? Or maybe some sort of charitable work, right? These are all things that bring people together. But all those things, all those outward things, are not how the body is inwardly, intrinsically connected. How we're connected is that we have the life of Christ. And the more we live this Christ, and the more we dispense this Christ into one another, this flow of life within us, this is what makes us the body of Christ. This is what makes us an organism as opposed to an organization. Let's read Romans capital C together. Everyone together. Okay, this is a big point. On the one hand, being members of the body,
We are one with Christ, right? And so if Sam here would have hit me in my arm, I don't say, oh, why did you hit me in my left arm, right? I would say, naturally, why did you hit me? Because my arm is one with me, right? So when we're members of the body, we are one with Christ. We're one with our head. All the members of the body are part of the Christ. That's somewhat easy to see. But just as you can't separate the head from the body, or separate the head from the members of the body, you can't separate the members from one another. Do you realize that we are members one of another? This is Romans 12:5. We who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are not just members of Christ. I'm a member of you, and you're a member of me. This is in contrast to an organization where you're you and I'm me. And you remain you and I remain me, right? In other words, the two will never become one. But in the body of Christ, this universal reality of the organism full of life, we become one not just with Christ, our head, but one with one another. We are really one. Okay, Romans 2. There's more of this in tonight's message. Romans 2, everyone together. When we hold to truth and love, grow up into Christ in all things. This is from Ephesians 4:15, holding to the head in love. And by holding to the head, holding to truth, pardon me, by holding to truth, we grow up into Him as the head. It is easy to grow into Christ or into Him in the meetings. But to grow up into Him, the verse says, in all things, means more than just the meetings. We need to be able to live Christ inside or outside the meetings. We have to live Christ in the big things and the small things, as you'll see. We have to live Christ, not just in front of others, but in private. Our living Christ, our in Christ, must be in all things. There's a popular verse among Christians today, I am able to do all things in Him who empowers me, right? And this kind of appeals to our natural self. I mean, isn't it tantalizing to be able to say, I can do all things, right? I can do anything. If I'm in Him, I can do anything. But may I suggest that that verse is not on, I can do anything or all things, but I can do all things in Him. In other words, I'm not so concerned about you doing some, accomplishing some fantastic feat, doing some marvelous work. I want to know, yes, I know, you can be in a meeting in Him, but can you drive on the freeway in Him? Can you post on the Facebook or Twitter in Him? If we were to read all your postings in the last 24 hours, what percentage of those postings are in Him? Well, this thing covers a lot. Our speaking, our actions. Oh, how we're loose. On the way to the meeting, what were you talking about? What were you conversing about? Did it give life? That's how you can tell whether something is in Him. It gives life. And when you come to the meetings, you'd be living. You'd be alive because you're full of life. You've been speaking to one another in Him. It's so easy to communicate these days. Text messages. They call them a new language, right? All these acronyms. I think they call them meaning of acronyms in chat. So apparently chat is a language now, right? Or netlingo. It's so easy to communicate. So therefore, it becomes a lot easier to communicate outside of Christ. Anyways, we need to be those. How about other things, like our adornment? Sisters, you know, what do you put on your face? Are you dressing to please Christ? Are you dressing to please someone else? Only you can tell this. How about on Lord's Day morning? Where are you found? Are you found in Christ? Or are you found in bed? Yeah, that's right. I was a college student, done that, been there, done both, right? But anyways, we need to learn to be, grow up into him in all things. And how we grow up into him in all things is by holding to truth. Let's have brothers read A. Truth. The word truth refers to things that are real, that are reality, as opposed to something that's not real or vanity. So all those talks, those posts, those things that I was referring to before, many of those, if they do not give life, those are just vanity. They're not sinful. They could be sinful, but hopefully they're not that sinful, but they're still vanity. There's no nutritional value. It's zero calories. It does not cause the growth of the body because it does not dispense life. So what do we need to hold to? How do we grow in life? Is don't hold on to vanity. Hold on to reality. Amen. Hold on to that which is truth. What is truth? God is truth. Christ is truth. The Spirit is truth. Divine life, the body of Christ is truth. Our salvation is truth. Hold on to these things that occupy us are the ones in our household, we call them growing food, right? There's candy and all those other things, and there's growing food. We need growing food. Nutritious, rich. Sisters, point one. Very significant that in Ephesians 4:15 it has both truth and love, right? You need both. Love makes people hot. Truth makes people cold. Love makes people foolish, right? Truth makes people clear. If we only have love, we can be hot yet foolish. If we only have truth, we could be clear, yet cold. We do not want to be cold or foolish. We want to be hot and sober. You know, brothers tend to be stronger in the truth, as a generalization. Brothers tend to be stronger in truth than in love. And sisters tend to be stronger in love than in truth. And you can see this in John chapter 20, right? The morning of Jesus' resurrection, and the disciples get the report that Jesus has been taken. Jesus' body has been taken. The tomb is empty. So they run to the tomb. They look inside. And contrary to the report, they see, because of the handkerchief and the linen all folded, they see he wasn't taken. In the passage there, it says, they saw and they believed. They believed in the resurrection of Christ. So the brothers did not believe the false report of the sisters, and they believed that, and they were clear that Christ has resurrected. But then what did the brothers do? They went back home, right? Maybe back to bed. On the other hand, Mary was there. still unclear concerning the truth. And she was just weeping, weeping. Even two angels appeared and said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Can't you? I mean, don't you see there's no need to weep?" Yet she still didn't get the picture. She couldn't. Two angels couldn't get her to believe. So the Lord himself had to interrupt his secret ascension, make a detour, come down to Mary and say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And even still, she turns and is like, she doesn't think he's Jesus. He doesn't realize. He thinks it's the gardener. "Where, sir, did you put him so I can take him back?" Exasperated, the Lord says, "Mary!" Then, Rabboni, she sees. Okay, give her credit. She eventually saw. But we need both, right? If you're clear, but without love, you might miss Christ. But if all you do is love, you can get off track. Actually, love was likened to the fire within the locomotive. It's what drives the locomotive. The truth is like the tracks, and make sure you don't get derailed, right? So we need both. We need to hold to truth in love. When we hold to things like God, Christ, Spirit, divine life, body of Christ, we hold to these things in love, according to the ministry excerpts, which hopefully you read, these things, if this word impresses you and you take it, practice it, and live it, you will receive much blessing. You will have the real growth into the head in all things by holding to truth in love. Okay, two, as the body of Christ, the church should not be deprived of Christ, who is the embodiment of God as a source of life. Christ's rightful place is to be the head. If he's not the head, that's because someone dethroned him. He was given to be head over all things to the church. And when we hold to vanity, hold to things that are not truth, we dethrone him. We deprive him from being the head. B, how about brothers? Read B. Our growth in life by the increase of Christ should be the growth of the members. Okay. So when we grow in life, we must realize that we're not growing as individual Christians merely. But we're also growing as members of the body. We're not just Christians, we are members. According to Colossians 2:19, we also have such things as joints and sinews, which also are special members through which the supply and the joining occurs, right? Every one of my member is joined to one another by the joint of the rich supply. All those of you who have been in the church life, you consider your own situation, your own growth in life. Even today, did you get here all by yourself? Every one of us, if we're honest, would have to admit that in our lives, the Lord has placed many joints and sinews. This is how we're still here. We need other members for the growth in life. That's what it means. We have to grow not just individually, but we have to grow as members of his body. And how do we grow? Well, the growth of God is through the increase of God in us. God is complete, but he's not complete in us. So in order for God to grow in us, we need to have more of God. The more mingling, the more growth. That's why it's so important. If many of you students, if you're not connected to a nearby family, you have to be connected. The more, the better. Many families, multiple homes, get connected, get attached. Because in order to grow in the body, you have to be attached to the members of the body. One, point one, sisters, in everything, So we need to grow up into him in all things, right? We've covered this. Brothers, it's helpful. Before you go to school, look in the mirror, right? Look in the mirror and say, ask yourself, have I been headed up in Christ in my dress? Or maybe it's your hair, right? Some brothers, they roll out of bed. Praise the Lord for caps, right? Right? Sorry, this is not judgment. This is not condemnation if you happen to wear a cap. It's okay, but still, nevertheless, even the cap you wear, am I headed up in Christ, in my cap, in my clothes? Sisters, when you're talking amongst one another, if you can remember, because sometimes it might be difficult to interrupt the thought or your mouth, to have the thought of this, am I headed up in Christ in my speech? But every time, surely, before you post something online, we're going through this with my children who are learning how to use Google Docs. And they think that if they erase something, that it's gone forever. But little do they know that mommy and daddy are not so backwards that we know how to check revision. And our oldest one got herself in a little, not too hot water, but anyways, a little bit of hot water. This, by some of the things she did in this collaborative document that they were producing as a study guide. Anyways, she might be a little young for this, but you also post many things online. And some of the things deleted, and you're assured by the Silicon Valley conglomerates that they disappear within a certain period of time. But even if they disappear, there's still someone who does not forget. And there's some record somewhere that has it. It's best to save yourself some trouble by just checking with the Lord. Am I headed up in Christ? Is this post headed up in Christ? We need to be headed up in Christ in all things. Two, in this way we will grow into him and will allow him to occupy all our inward parts. That is our mind, emotion, and will. He wants to occupy, even permanently. Christ is not taking hospitality in your heart. Right? Sweet, but thankfully short. No. He wants to make his permanent dwelling place in your heart. Three. How about brothers? Day by day. Yes. And the way we have Christ increase in us, God's element increase in us, is simply by eating and drinking him. How do we eat? According to Ephesians 6, we eat Christ by pray reading. We receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition. When we pray read, when we read prayerfully, muse over the word, we're eating Christ. How do we drink? Well, Romans 10, but also Psalm 116 tells us that we drink by calling on his name. Maybe some of you are not so familiar with this practice, or maybe not accustomed to this practice, but this practice, might I assure you, is a long-standing practice from the third generation of man of calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the... That's how we drink. That's how we take the cup of salvation. By calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. And when you eat and when you drink, guess what? According to John 6, you'll begin to live because of him. When you eat him, you shall live because of him. This eating produces a living. We live Christ. We live this life
that we have within us. Sisters, see.
Yeah. So we already covered this, right? Until we all arrive, right? Don't be obsessed with your own personal spiritual growth. Actually, pick up the burden for someone else's growth. Trust me, if you do that, you will grow, right? The more you shepherd someone, the more you get shepherded. Okay, Romans 3. Let's read this together. The body of Christ is built up by the one ministry which perfects us to grow up into Christ and to function out from Him in order to supply the body for the building up of itself. So on the one hand, we do need growth. On the other hand, we do need perfecting. Perfecting. And the Lord has given certain gifts to the body to perform this perfecting work. There's some that are apostles, some that are prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers. All these gifts are given to the body to perfect us. To what? To do the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? It's the building up of the body of Christ. And how do they do this? Well, it's simply by perfecting us to do what they do, right? Those that are shepherds and teachers, shepherd us. Shepherd us. How we know how to shepherd others? The only way that we can shepherd others or know how to shepherd others is if we first have been shepherded in that thing. And so these gifts, they perfect us. And then we, as the members of the body, begin to function in the ways that they perfected us. We begin to go out and be evangelists. We can be evangelists to preach the gospel to those that are around us. We could be those who shepherd and teach. We could be those who can prophesy to build up the church. As we function in this manner, according to our measure, what happens is that the body of Christ is built up. Okay, so how about A? First, we grow into the head. Then we have something out from the head for the building up of his body. So this is the process. First, we have to grow up into him in all things. And we have these experiences of Christ that he gives us, of growing up into him. Formerly, your driving was not in Christ. Then the Lord gains you, and your driving happens to, at least today, be in Christ. Now you're equipped with something that can be helpful, encouraging to someone else who's having the same struggle as you are. It could be driving. It could be anything. But as you're receiving that shepherding and as you're functioning, what happened is the body is being built up. B, the joints supplying and the parts functioning cause the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. The gifts do not build the body directly. It's the members that build the body directly. So some of you who are new among us might observe us and right away find it interesting, different, that we have no pastor, right? What church doesn't have a pastor? Well, my question is, if you're the church, why would you need a pastor? With every member functioning to build up the body of Christ, there is no need of a pastor. We have gifts, yes, gifts to perfect the members, but we have also all the members building up the body of Christ directly. Amen. How do we do this? A big part of this is on Lord's Day morning. There is something, this may be a term again, not so familiar with many of you, but there is a meeting that in many of the churches where you're at, called a prophesying meeting. And according to 1 Corinthians 14, prophesying builds up the church. He who prophesies builds up the church. And according to verse 31 in that same chapter, all can prophesy one by one. What this means is that when we're living Christ during the week and we're learning, and I emphasize learning, none of us has arrived, we're all learning. I hope we don't have an enormous arm over here and a wimpy arm over here. We're all more or less learning, right? We're in the process. We're all out of this. We're growing. Okay, we're learning to live Christ. And there's certain things that maybe he gives us certain experiences where we headed up in Christ. And that becomes encouragement to us. And then we come Lord's Day morning. It could be something that you heard, that you saw in your living, in the college meeting, in your small group meeting, something that you enjoyed, something that was a strengthening to you. And you come together, all together in one place, and each one of you has something. It could be a psalm. It could be a teaching. It could be a interpretation. It could be anything. But when you speak that, and as we described last night, when you speak it in your spirit, what happens is that functioning ends up building the body of Christ. This is how we build the body of Christ. We should all desire to prophesy, to build the church. We can exercise other gifts, but this gift, to prophesy, is the top gift, to build the church. So instead of sleeping in, may the Lord cause us to grow up into him in our matter of sleeping on Lord's Day morning, right? Instead of sleeping in, we come to the church. We speak. You know, don't be afraid. I'll just read. All the body causes the growth of the body, too. The body itself, and this is the point I wanted to make, builds itself up. I'm glad it just doesn't build itself up. It builds itself up in the divine love. Meaning that many of us don't prophesy because we're afraid of making mistakes. Don't worry about it. Because we're here in an atmosphere not of condemnation or judgment, but in love. We all can commiserate, right, with one another. At least, you know, there's an illustration that was used before. There needs to be ones in the prophesying meeting who are like the soldiers on the front lines, right? And there's some barbed wire. And so what you have is you have a soldier that goes and just jumps and lays flat on the barbed wires. That way, all the other soldiers can run across his back and through the barbed wire. We need some who are willing to sacrifice themselves. To do this, you really have to love the brothers, right? You have to love your fellow soldiers, right? You have to be but think about it. It's okay. Even if you were to crash and burn in the prophesying meeting, right? Let's say you're a crash and burn. What's the brother next to you going to say? Well, at least mine's going to be better than his. What a strength and what an encouragement. If you're crashing and burning because three others to be able to speak, you build up the body of Christ. So, the body builds itself up in love. Oh, praise the Lord. Actually, this is very helpful. Just a side word on prophesying. You know how you get good at prophesying? Is you do it, and do it a lot. Because half of, well, I don't know, any public speaking, half of it is really whether your nerves get to you, right? On paper, it looks great in the morning. You're gonna bring the roof down, right? Then you actually do it, and your nerves, you freeze up, and it never comes out the way you planned it to come out. But it sort of resolves itself when you get over this matter of nerves. And the only way you can get over the nerves is by just doing it. And one thing that helps me, and when I speak, is I've crashed and burned
so many times. 10 times you crash and burn. That, okay, great. It couldn't be worse. Right? So might as well go out. Go out in flames, right? It's wonderful. At least hopefully someone will catch the divine fire. Philip preached the gospel to Nathanael. All wrong, right? Come and see Jesus, the son of Joseph, from Nazareth. Well, he was Jesus, yes. But he was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of Mary. He was begotten of the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't from Nazareth. He was from Bethlehem. He was doctrinally incorrect. But Nathanael came. I'm not saying that you intentionally butcher the truth. But you try your best. And the more you do, the better you become. This is how you prophesy to build up the church. So, there's a few things, illustrations, but I think you get the point. It is exceedingly practical. And I hope you will get this out of this morning's message, is that the organism that is full of life is something that can be experienced. It's not just some sort of truth. It's not some sort of teaching. It is something that we can apply in the details of our living. We are members of the body of Christ because we have this life. It's not the things outwardly that bring us together. It's this life within that makes us this body. And when we learn to live not by our life, but learn to live by this life, we become those who build up the body of Christ. The head gives us something that will supply the body, that will build up the body, that will edify the body. And in this way, the body will grow because you're growing. And in this way, the body will be built up in love. May we live for this. May this be not only God's goal, but may this be our goal. I think I have 1 minute to spare, but I think I'm going to stop here to give you one extra minute. But how about this? Let's read the focus together. And after that, let's have, not too long, 20 seconds of prayer together. And then we'll have the brothers direct us. Amen. Praise the Lord.